Good afternoon, First Baptist. I hope you've had a wonderful day of worship today. As we travel through the Ten Commandments, it is God's top ten. It's surely not ours. As we would look at our lives and our style and what we know, we surely need the Word of God and help to figure out what God's really after in our lives. Hope you've been enjoying that. On Sunday nights, I've been trying to preach some uplifting messages, some encouragement, and some journey. Hope you enjoyed The Lamb Wins last Sunday night. That's a message God gave me, and it's always been an impact in my life. I always, when I use the word, hear the words, the Lamb wins, I perk up, because it is the truth that happens in our lives. Tonight, I want to preach about let's build something together. Let's build something together. The danger of being a lone ranger in a Christian world. You know, sometimes we think that I can do this on my own. I've been in church all my life. I've heard about this, you know, talk to people about becoming small groups or church or connected. But I've been in church all my life, preacher, and I kind of make it now, sometimes in and out. But the reality of it is, in America, where we have a Declaration of Independence, when we come into the kingdom of God, we become dependent upon the family of God. We become dependent on one another, and we are better together. So the title of the message is talking about that, how God uses that, how God blesses that, even through this pandemic. There's always great things happening. There's always things we wish could happen better or whatever, but we wait upon the Lord for that. But I want you to think about this message today that would be a blessing to you, how we can do things better together, how God plans for that to work together, and how He'll work it out when we come together. If we're not together, there's not much we can do. I think we've all experienced that in church life, when the church is working together and there's harmony. Man, I care. It's a wonderful season. And man, whenever we are not together, we're not together as a body, as people, we find ourselves weakened. We find ourselves confused. We find ourselves lacking the faith to please God sometimes in that journey. So I want to preach this tonight. And I want you to help you to think about this and be a blessing to you, because God planned for us to be totally dependent on one another. In Romans chapter 12 is probably some of the greatest words that can be said about coming together and being aware of the obstacles that is out there to take us apart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, as reasonable service. It's big orders. He asks us that we present ourselves ready for God, holy, by grace through faith, through repentance. It's wonderful. It says, do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. I want you to underline the perfect will of God. There's not many times in my life where perfect is ever part of me. I'm imperfect in so many ways. It's scary. You know, I love people who love me, because when you really get to know me, you got to love me through some stuff. And same way with one another. But we have to be in the perfect will of God for that to work, so we can be better together in the kingdom of God. In verse 3, now I want you to know this, when we are better together, we're always going to counterculture. We're always kind of swimming upstream. There's never a day in Christianity when you lay on the raft and just float down the stream. When you do, you're going to end up where you don't want to be. So it's an effort daily through your prayer, through your devotion, through your discipling, that we would fight the culture that is always taken away from God. And just like in the Garden of Eden, I mean, they were living in a pretty great place, and here come that culture of evil. Satan jumped in there and began to challenge it all. Well, he's never quit challenging it all. He's challenging it today like never before. So I tell you that because I don't know how close you walk to God and how tall you are with God. There's a devil there who's an admirable foe. And God designed it where we are together, and together we fight that battle. Lone rangers don't work very well. I've tried Lone Ranger, and you have too. So let's think about how we can come together as a church, as a kingdom, as a body, to do great things for God. In verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to, think. Be careful. I know you love Jesus. I know you know a lot. I know we've come a long way, but don't ever think. When you think too highly, you think you can do it on your own. I've been there. When you think that maybe you can just slip through this, I've tried that. So have you. So he's warning us, be not conformed by the world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. But remember, we need a plan from God to enable us to get there. So don't think of yourself too highly. Don't think you can do this by yourself. But to think soberly as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. Now, here's how this works. Every born-again believer in Christ has been given a spiritual gift. And there may be several gifts. The ignorance in Corinthians, Paul said, don't be ignorant about the gifts of God. Now, the church house today is ignorant about the... If somebody asked you what your spiritual gifts were, what would you say? You know, we've taught that class since I've been here. Most churches have and done. But many times people forget. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to deploy the spiritual gifts. And in the kingdom of God, in his body, his church, there are many members, but there's one body. In that body of Christ, he sits here. The Bible says he places people in churches that pleases him. It pleases him that because he knows what gifts need to be in that church. So he puts people in the church with the gifts to make the body whole. And so when the whole body's working together, all the gifts are functioning, and it's an amazing thing. But sir, ma'am, I don't care who you are. We don't have enough gifts to get to where we need to be. We need to depend upon one another's gifts to make us what we need to be. You think about that for a moment. You think about just kind of doing church as a lone ranger. Man, come back into the kingdom. Listen to what he says. But to think soberly, as God has dwelt in each of you a measure of faith. He's given me a measure of faith. Everyone has a measure of faith. And you take all the faith that we can bring together, and man, it becomes a lot of faith. It becomes a move of faith. It becomes a principle of faith. And it's impossible to please God without faith. And so, he teaches us coming together is important. We need one another. He says, as we have many members in the body, but all members do not have the same function. See, every one of us need to be doing something in the kingdom of God. My function is to preach the word of God, to disciple. I've got several gifts that God's blessed me with, but that's my gift. That's my calling. And we're not all called to be preachers. We're not all to pray out loud. We're not all called to teach classes. We're not all to do this or that. But everybody in this church is called, and God put us here, and it makes up one body. Let me tell you something. This is a pretty strong body you're looking at today. It's an older body, but it's still strong. But I've got a big toe, got some gout in it. When that gout gets messed up, this whole body is done. This whole body is just, I can't do nothing. See, we all need to be one body because we can't do it by ourselves. And man, when it's working, let me tell you something, it's working. I've been able to pastor churches for many years, and I would tell my staff, when God's moving in this wave, it's working. And let's not take it for granted. Let's not get lazy. Let's keep the body together. Let's keep functioning. Let's keep working. Thank God baptisms are up. Thank God everything's up, but we're nowhere where we need to be yet. Remember that. We're always striving to be better for the kingdom of God, and we're better together. If you were sitting in a congregation today, here's what I would ask you to do. I want you to look at that person to your left or right and say, boy, you sure need me. You need me. And then I want you to say this. And I need you. See, I need you. I need your help. I need your spirit. I need your faith. I need your gifts. We all need that. So see, we can look back the row and say, man, you need me and I need you. This is a dependent upon God through one another. This is how God functions in our lives. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let them prophesy proportion of our faith. And he talks about our gifts here. But here's what I want you to get. As a pastor, and you're getting ready to think about praying about having elected a pastor, and I'm excited for you. This is great days for me personally, and I hope it's for you also. But you need to support that man with your gifts. You support that preacher with your pastors, with your faith. All of those things come together. As he comes to put his weight in it, we must have our weight in it also. And man, when that begins to work, it works so much better. And I think you're ready for that. I'm excited for that opportunity as things are coming together here at First Baptist in a big way. So God is always working in our lives. Let me tell you how we can put this together so you understand this. If you've been here at First Baptist and around the world, we're doing a shoebox ministry. It is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. Man, when Franklin Graham came up with this, it took years. I think I learned the other day, 1983, when he started it, it took many years before it ever got caught, and it's going crazy. There's going to be shoeboxes sent across this world to boys and girls and men and women who maybe have never heard about Jesus. Remember, know anything about the kingdom of God and the love of Christ. It's amazing when I travel in third world countries, how many people are just starving for something that needs to help them that lasts, and Jesus is the answer. The shoebox ministry. We are the hub church here in Meade County. And everybody brings their shoeboxes in here, every church individually. Little ladies and men and boys and girls went out and bought little things, put in a box, and then we all put them together. We're going to end up with thousands and millions of them. We're going to send them around the whole world to millions of boys and girls with the gift of Jesus for Christmas and the word and the truth of Christ. Think how much we are better together. Think about how God has used that ministry to change a world. It isn't about our steeple. It's about his kingdom. But when the steeple connects with the kingdom of God, all churches participate in missions. So let me just use the shoebox ministry. Can you see how much we had a lady join our church, came Sunday to visit our church, and she was there. Her daughter was getting baptized. And so she heard about the shoebox ministry for the very first time. They prayed about this, and Roxanne kind of shared about how that history, how well. And she came out Sunday afternoon, and she had two boxes. She says, I got to go and fill these up. I haven't heard anything so great in my life. This is exciting. I got one for my daughter. She's going to do it too. Better together. Man, are we ever better together. All of a sudden, she gets to join in on where God is. You know, when Blackwell taught about experiencing God, you know, you got to experience God, you got to be where he is. That's how you experience God. And so, just the illustration of how all of us working together gets so much done to change a world. Never forget it. That works in shoebox ministry. That works at First Baptist Church, in our discipling ministry, in our Bible study ministry, in our singing. Let me tell you something. When our people stand up on Sunday morning in that choir, special music, you know what they're singing for? For the body. They're singing for the kingdom of God. And if people get saved and people change their lives, it's all of us together. And so see, I don't care if you're singing in a choir, sitting in a class being discipled, teaching a class, sitting in a prayer cell, wherever we are. Man, when First Baptist Church is humming, it's all better when it's together under the grace of Christ. I want you to get that. I want you to learn how exactly it is. Let me take you to an example so you can understand how important it is to be together. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he'd been arrested. He's got ready to go to the cross. He's there and he's having a prayer time there in the garden. That's where the battle was won, in that garden. He was there. He knows he's going to take on the sins of the world. He knew about the agony. He knew about everything else. And he needed to talk to the Father. And so in Matthew chapter 26, I want to read in verse 36. Listen to this. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. He said, guys, I got to do some praying. You sit right here. You sit right here. I'm going over there. I've been able to go to that Garden of Gethsemane. That is a beautiful place to sit. That's a beautiful place to be. Guys, you hang out right there for a while. Then he took with him Peter, the sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then when he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Now get this. This isn't almost God. This is God on the earth. This is Jesus, as much as man as we are, as much as God is. And he was getting ready to deal with this. He said, fellas, I need you with me today. I need you. We're better together. I want you to stand here and pray and support me. And so I thought about this. How many times in my life when I think I can make it, maybe? How many times in our life when we think we can just be on our own? And let me ask you, as a member of the First Baptist Church, are you on your own? Are you participating here? Are you surrendered here? Are you sacrificing here? Are you giving here? Because when you are, it's better together. I need you, and you need me. We need one another. It's exactly. If Jesus needed that inner circle of disciples to be with them while he anguished and prayed as if drops of blood came out of him, how much more do we need to have one another? It's how it works. Jesus said to them, "Surely I say to you, that night before the rooster crows, you shall deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I have to die with you, I will not deny." And he said, all his disciples. So he just let them know how much we need one another. Those disciples needed Jesus. You're going to learn about it in just a few hours, how much they needed Jesus. But Jesus was teaching them there through this prayer time, "I need you guys." I've thought about that. If Jesus needed us, how much more do we need one another? How much can we count on one another? How much can we just lay up our hearts out to one another, not be worried about being told about all of our sorrows, but just be confident and pray and support and love one another? I want you to know that is the need of our lives. When churches are functioning together, hell can't stop it. I'll tell you what, when you get a church that's fighting and fussing and all divided, all he has to say is boo, and we all go home and stay. It's sad. I'm not any different than you. I'm a dadgum preacher. I thought about staying home a few times myself in the journey. It's hard. It's never easy. This isn't a spiritual ladder we get on top. Now look at me. That's what he says in Romans. Don't look at me. We got to look at God. We need one another. God, through us, all of our gifts, all of our help, all of our resources, makes this body work. And I can't do it without you. And you can't do it without me. That's the issue of ministry. I want you to get that. I want you to never forget that, because we're always better together. Let me help you see that. Others need to walk with us. We walk together. In Galatians 5:16, the Bible teaches us, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, remember this. Love is always giving. Lust is always taking. My flesh is always wanting. My love is always giving. You walk in my Spirit, you'll never become lustful. You walk in my Spirit, and I'll guarantee you the flesh won't be able to own you that day. The flesh. And we're walking together. Now, here's how he's presenting this. It's Jesus is talking about in the kingdom of God that the Bible calls us for a spiritual walk. Spiritual walk. Let me get this. You walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the love, the flesh, the lust of the flesh. The Bible teaches us walk in the light. The Bible teaches us to walk in love. The Bible teaches be obedience, to walk as Jesus walked. So see, my Christian life is just a walk. I'm not sitting down. I'm not relaxing on a recliner. I'm on a walk. I'm walking towards what God has for us. Do you know what God has for you? I'm praying that for my own life right now. I'm pretty excited what God has for me. Are you excited what God has for you? He says we need to walk together, walk in the Spirit. Then we walk together in love. We walk together in the light. We're the light of the world. Man, when we stand out there as together as a church, united with the light of the world in our lives, we make an impact. We make a difference in all the things that happen in our life. Life is not an easy, relaxing time. It's a journey that we need to walk together for the kingdom of God to be stronger than it's ever been. It's safer when we're together. Pay attention to this. It's safer when we build our kingdom of God together. We build relationships. We love each other. Genesis 2:18 said, "It's not good for man to be alone." Through this pandemic, my biggest concern, and it's growing every day, how many people are dying from within because they're lonely. They're just there alone. They miss their church. They miss so much. The Bible teaches us that we have to be people who will help us. See, when we walk together, God hates loneliness. I heard Billy Graham say one time in one of his last sermons, his last journey, I don't know exactly when, but he preached on loneliness. And he said he believes the greatest problem that he sees across America in all of our fast lanes and the shiny lights is the loneliness is destroying people. Loneliness is painful. It hurts, and it's easy to get lonely. Just keep messing up, keep running on your own, and one day you'll wake up and you'll have all the money in the bank you need, and you'll have everything around you need, but you'll have nobody with you. That's lonely. And all that stuff means nothing to you, but you don't realize that till you get there. And so he says, God created two communities. He created my physical family. He created my spiritual family. Here's the best part of that story. Our physical family is going to die. There comes a day in our life when we're all going to be appointed to that time. But my spiritual family, it reigns forever and ever and ever. So he gave us a time for two families to come together. When our biological family are loving one another and caring for one another, it is the greatest time in our lives. There's nothing better. When Kathy and I get our children together and our grandchildren together, it doesn't make any difference how much money is in the bank. It don't make it how big the turkey is. Man, when we're together, it is special. It's powerful. I got a big plaque in my living room. Our family is a loving family that walks together with God. And I do that every day. I pray for my family. I call my family. I don't know how many times I've called to my family and encouraged them to work on their walk with God. Because I see them get on the wrong path. And I see they're my family. So see, I have a biological family. I got a spiritual family. So God gave us two families that we can walk together and work together. When I came out of full-time ministry, I went to the garage and I had an old Mopar. And I've always wanted to rebuild that thing. And so I took some time in a big garage. My grandson came down there and my son came down there. And we spent about 3 months together just working on a car. Let me tell you something. My car looks good. My car runs good. But it's my son and my grandson that makes me good. They bless me. That car can't bless me. That car can break down any time. But my family is what blesses me. It's what it's at. It's when your physical family, your biological family, and your spiritual family are humming together. In Ephesians, I want you to see this. I'm sure you've read this. But now on this light, I want to read it so you understand it and connect with togetherness. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, every Christian, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, we are his workmanship, created by the Holy Spirit of Christ, gifted by God. We're his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared before you that we should walk in them." You understand that? Our work is walking together. He created us to walk together. Walk in the Spirit, walk in love. We're always going somewhere for Christ. You can't sit down. It's counterculture. It's swimming upstream. It's a great blessing to have that spiritual journey in your lives. Some of you have been locked down because you have no choice. Some of you have been locked down because you made a choice. You made a choice long before this pandemic came to get out of fellowship with your church. You made a choice to walk away from your church. There isn't anybody that hadn't dealt with that sometime in their life. But God made us to be good workmanship, created Christ Jesus to work together to do what? To walk through that together. It makes all the difference in the world. Yesterday we had kind of a little celebration as all the churches are going to start bringing their boxes in to First Baptist and logistically how we're going to work that out. And we had an opening day, and Benita is in charge of that, bless her heart, and took the ribbon and cut the ribbon. And you know what that ribbon cut? It cut it so we're now open because all the churches can come and walk together in this ministry of the shoebox for children and moms and dads. And I told them down there as I was praying for them, this is what I've learned in Africa. We always take things for children, thousands of things for children, suitcases full of children. And the next day, we come back together, and their moms are wearing the bracelets. Their moms are eating the candy. See, their moms don't have anything either. Their dads don't have anything either. And so when we package this, you know what they do? They'll share it with their moms and dads. It's together we touch everybody. That's the design of Christ. Let me tell you something. You want to touch a daddy, touch his children. It'll bring that daddy close to God. And so he wants us to be that. He wants us to work together. One of the greatest things that I can tell you what I enjoy on a mission trip, and I've been probably 45 to 50 of mission trips in the States and across the ocean. I've been across the ocean a lot, probably about 45 times in my ministry. Russia, Africa, basically. I've been to other countries in South America. But here's what I love about a mission team. We get there, we're on mission. We don't have a telephone. We don't have nothing but our Bibles and a heart for God. They got a heart for God because we walk together on that plane. We're walking together on that plane. We walk together when we get there. Some places we don't have the best of everything, but we're still together. And we go through this together. And then we wake up the next day and we're all moving together. I bring that team together for a devotion in the morning, bring that for a prayer time together. I get our assignment, somewhere we're going to go, how many villages we're going to see, how many people are out there, what are we going to be doing that day. And man, they're working, they're sweating. Man, they're dragging that stuff around. They're getting it all ready. We get in that old hot truck and that dust is flying and we're going on that old bumpy road. But I'll tell you what, we are together. And it's amazing because when we get there, we can see 1,000 people. We can see 1,000 people in a week. It's amazing how we can, one by one, everybody, all the children's workers are running like crazy. All the nurses are working. All the counselors are working. It's a wonderful thing to see. You know why? We're all walking together on mission. And I want to tell you something. Isn't it a shame that we got to go to a faraway country to get our heads together to do something great for God like that? We need to be together right here at First Baptist. I don't believe we need to be going over there if we can't do it here. This is our Jerusalem. We need to take care of that here. There are people in this church, I have seen them, when you give them an opportunity, man, their lights come on. They're signing up. They're looking for things to do. They didn't know they could do it. They didn't know they had the gifts to do it. And all of a sudden now they're giant up. They're coming together. They're working. They're busy as bees. And the church is beginning to flow and build. You know why? Everybody's kind of walking together. If you're not walking with us on this journey, I ask you why. We are better together. And God designed it that way. We want to be independent. You want to be financially. I want to do it my way. I want to make my money. Try that stuff. It's not your money to start with, and you can't make it by yourself. Try that. You'll find it out sooner or later. We need a physical family if God would give us one, and we need a spiritual family that God died so we could have one. So see, he wants us to be together. He wants us to do all the things that God wants us to do. So I asked you a question today. Are we better together? Are you in it with us? If you're not, you're not. You can't be almost in this thing. We've been baptized in circles. It's been a blessing for me. And I know it's been a blessing for everybody. But I've talked to 3 or 4 of them been baptized. Haven't been here for a while. We understand why, but they came back. And I talked to a couple of them, came back now for third Sunday. They said, Brother Ron, we didn't realize what we were missing at home just watching this. We didn't realize the difference. I'll sit here. I'm coming back. Do you realize being together, walking together through this is important? Some of us can't be here for obvious reasons, but I'm talking about you who made a choice. You go to work every day, but you're afraid to go to church. How does that figure? How do you do that? I can't figure that out. I want you not to figure it out, too. I want you to get it. I want you to understand we are better together. I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one. Profound statement. Because they have good rewards for their labor. They get more done with two. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Amen. So when I fall, my wife picks me up. There's somebody. I remember one of the lowest times in my life, in my ministry, probably about 15 years ago. There's a lot of things going on. And there was a senior lady came to my house. Said, Brother Ron, I've been missing you. I haven't seen you. And I want to know if I could just help pick you up today. Let me tell you something, that little lady, who I had no idea all the gifts she had. She took God and picked this old fat preacher up, and I stood for God, and she got me walking again. See how God works this? We're better together. I don't know who you are or where you are, but God does. We're better together. It says, woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has left no one to help him. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? One may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him. And a three-fold cord is not quickly broken. Man, when we stand together, it's all together, get together differently. Matter of fact, when we stand together, the world sees it. See, in John 13:35, by this shall we know to all men that we are my disciples, if we love one another, if we're walking together. Let me share this with you. If you know a church who's going through a church problem, and all churches do, you know a church is going through stress, and all churches do, and if you ever repeat that to anybody, shame on you. That's the bride of Christ. He doesn't need gossip out there. He needs somebody that will help pick it up out there. And so, see, we hear about it all the time. Man, churches talk about how this church is going through this and this happened over here. Did you hear what that person did? Did you hear what that preacher did? Did you hear what happened over there? Shut up. Pray for them. Stop by and help pick them up. Don't put extra weight in their problems. Because the world will know that we walk with God when we walk together in love. And we're not loving when we're condemning. You got that? This is the bride of Christ. I tell you, I've been telling you that for a long time. You can talk a lot about me, and I'll turn cheek. You talk about my wife, we're liable to go outside. You know what? That's my bride. Don't forget this. This church is the bride of Christ, and I don't want to hear any bad things out of this church. There are bad things in this church, but we love one another. We'll forgive. We'll get through it. As long as you keep talking, as long as you keep walking on your own, this church will suffer because of you. Or you can come and join the team. Three are stronger than two. It's your choice. We are better together. So this message today is designed. We're better together. Man, when we have a family member die, we got a whole church family that'll come alongside. Visit the hospital. Visit needs. Go out to your children, do ministry and help in all that God has done. He's raised us up that we can be dependent upon one another, love one another, and the world will see it, and they'll want to come in and join that team together with Christ. We're better than one. And I close with this question. What are you doing for the bride of Christ right now? What are you doing? Are you praying for us daily? When you can't come and your reasons you can't, and no problem with that, are you praying for us daily? Do you ever think about calling somebody in the church family and encouraging them just because they can't come? You probably know the ones who can't come. Do you encourage one another? Or you just sit there, you quit walking? You know what I love about Jesus? You can walk in a wheelchair. He'll mobilize you to do things for Christ. So I want you to see we are a kingdom people. We are dependent upon one another. I need you, and you need me. And together we change the world. And together, the kingdom of God will be uplifted. And if we're not together, nothing until we get together. Remember that. That's the kingdom's principles. So I pray for you tonight. I pray that you bless you and be a part of the kingdom of God. Find your part. Man, I know Roxanne would love to put some music together, and the most she can get, she works hard with them. And singing is a big part of First Baptist Church. I remember my first Sunday here, man, they had about 20 children up there, and they sung Down Heaven. Then they brought some youth in here and sung Down Heaven. Then they brought the choir here and sung Down Heaven. I told Kat, it's the most singing church I've ever seen in my life. I was blessed that Sunday. I was overwhelmed that Sunday. Now, that can't be happening right now, but we're working that it can. Because, see, there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of gifts here. There's a lot of strong people here. But you got to walk together. That changes everything. That'll be a blessing to you. Well, I hope this message will encourage you. Hope you will see how God planned for us to walk. When we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust. We walk in love. We just walk in everything we do together against culture for the kingdom of God. So he'll be uplifted and we'll be blessed. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you because of who you are and what you do. Father, just being out there by yourself is impossible. It's lonely sometimes. God, I know you're with us. But God, bring us together here at First Baptist. Father, turn them together and make love flow. God, help us to forget and, Father, to be empowered for the days, the new days, the new blessings that are coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.